of Wednesday, July 19th, 2017. Myself, Alderman Olszewski. We have Alderman Frieders, Alderman Clocher, Alderman Rodriguez is ill. Staff. No citizens' comments, it looks like. Minutes for correction or approval. Any comments, questions on those? We're good? Okay, we'll take them as presented. New business, admin 2017-52, the monthly budget report for June 2017.
Okay, sales tax are performing above expectations again. You know, year over year, when you look at it on a month, monthly basis, I want to say that the June 17 figure of 250,000, I think, was 5 or 6% up year over year. And then the one that's not shown yet, that just got released last week, I want to say it hit 10% year over year. So I think we budgeted for 3% this year for a year over year growth. Last year, I think we ended up at like 5.5 to 6. And so I would expect that to come in that range again this year. You know, two of the factors with it compared to some of our other municipalities is obviously we're in a high growth mode still. So when you're adding 2 to 3%, you know, people over like a year or two period, that's going to help your sales tax. But then also, I feel like the existing sales tax base with shops and people, I mean, we don't really have that many retailers that are going to be competing with e-retail or in e-commerce, which has been a pretty big downturn in other shopping centers. So, you know, unfortunately, we never built out that much where we have electronic stores and some of the other things. A lot of it's clothes or groceries that people are still ordering at the store, which is good. So I sent an email out a couple hours before the meeting today, and I don't know, did everybody see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
46. Okay,
sure.
So I'll hit the high points. So the state's budget that they had approved had two like decreases in our revenues. One of them was LGDF. So what they did was they said, we're gonna take away 10% of LGDF this year alone. But we're going to give municipalities an automatic pass-through on these funds in the future. So what that does is it actually speeds up the payments. Whereas now there's like a three-month lag, two-month lag, it should be like a zero-month lag or a one-month lag. So we'll get things sooner, which is good. So the timing function of that is over the next 12 calendar months, we're going to get 14 payments, but they're going to be for 14 months worth of payments. Just two of them get accelerated from our current timing schedule. So that doesn't help us from an accrual basis. So, you know, you still look at it, it still says, you know, June 2017 receipts, and then each month. So you still only book 12 months worth of revenue in there. And so because they reduced it by 10%, even though we're actually getting the cash, 14
it's not
months
helping,
worth.
We're still down 10%.
Yeah, well, we actually lose money.
Overall, we lose,
which is unfortunate. So we pegged that at $160,000. Now, the way that the state's fiscal year lies compared to ours, 10 months of that impact will be in this current fiscal year, and 2 months will be next year. So this year, it's only going to be about $127,000 or $133,000 is what we anticipated at. The good news is that we've got our special census coming along. I haven't heard from them in a couple weeks now, but I know they've been out diligently finishing the subdivisions. So I think they're on schedule basically to get everything certified here still by fall, which means hopefully we would still get 4 or 5 months of raised income tax as a result of it. So nothing that the state did impacted that. So as we grow, we get more per capita revenue, which is good. So that'll still offset it. I know that money has already kind of been spoken for in the budget, but we still come out, you know, relatively close to where we should have been. But then also, too, just the growth in our sales tax is going to kind of offset that. So the second part of it actually impacts sales tax, which is also bad news. Doesn't touch our municipal sales tax, which is the larger line item in the budget, but it does impact our non-home rule sales tax, which is what we approved by referendum. So the state is now going to eat 2% of all proceeds, which is a lot of money statewide, for municipally imposed and state collected sales taxes. So because the other sales tax, the normal one, is not municipally imposed, it's just like in the state statute. But this one was done by referendum, and I know the counties was the same way. They're going to take 2% of that. So that's going to be $46,000 worth of lost revenue each year going forward. So that's an annual dollar amount. When you look at our budget, all it's going to do is cause maybe a minor dip in it this year. But the impact is when we've got 5 or 6% growth, we're just going to end up with 4% growth instead. So it's still possible we'll beat our budget estimates, even though we're losing that going forward. So disappointing, but, you know, I guess in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to kill us.
Not
going to
kill us, but still states take it in percentage as a handling fee, more or less.
Yep.
Which is what they're doing with every single fund that they can funnel through them. They're going to take a handling
fee. Yep. Frustrating.
Over time, it adds up to being a lot of money.
Yep.
You know, $46,000 a year, compounding.
Yep.
With the increases, we lose a lot. Same thing with the other for our larger number there. It's, you know, we're pretty much getting a little bit of a net gain with the census, but still, we're not increasing the way we were planning on it. So, thank you to the state.
Question on the census, are they just doing the new subdivisions to confirm, or is it, I can't remember.
Yeah, we picked a partial special census. So Autumn Creek, Grand Reserve, Wyndette Ridge, everywhere that's had permit growth.
So that's what I thought.
Yeah, there were actually some places that had like a few permits that we just chose not to do because the cost wouldn't have justified it.
Okay. Anything else on the budget report? Any comments or questions?
Yeah, every other departments is generally in line. Our audit is shaping up. Hopefully we'll have that here for the next month, at least preliminary numbers, and then the presentation as normal in October.
The one I just want to ask a specific line item on, July 17 for the downtown tax, the business district tax. Page 10 of the PDF, page 1 of the budget report. Significantly up from what we were anticipating it to be. Looks like it's
the downtown.
Yeah. So is that just attributed to good sales down there for, because that's just the one side of the street, isn't it?
It is.
That's Tolson's building, so that it's performing exceptionally well.
It's really only Crusade.
Right.
Well,
or is there something else to attribute?
We wouldn't have based that number off of probably where they had been for last year when they opened.
Mm-hmm.
So when we did the budget, we wouldn't have had that full figure. So my guess is that was that lower number, the budget number, is probably based on like when Barley Fork was there the year prior.
Because I'm just looking from even May to June, you know, looking at the two numbers.
Yeah.
It's a significant increase for that one, which is good.
Right.
You know,
they also might have just paid some back taxes or something too.
Okay, so that could have been a delay on things too.
Yeah, let's see.
Do you know that for, or is that something?
I don't know that for a fact, right. But I did, you know, that number did jump out as me as well. Okay. Six times higher, but.
That's a significant increase month to month, so.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, it is a pass through, though, but it flows out. I just wanted to make sure you were there.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Oh, that, since it's theirs, or it's a special district, it goes back to them, but
correct.
It's good to see growth.
But sure.
If it's misleading, if it's a back tax that they paid, I don't want it to look like something's going really well. It's not.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it.
Well, I talked to him. It's doing.
I see the business I'm in and out of there. It looks like it's doing well.
You should have the other one opened in a couple months.
Yeah, I heard that, so that's good. Right. They're interviewing some.
Soonish. Their fiscal year 17 projected number in that line item was only $4,000 for the entire year, and the year before that it was $6,800. So I'm guessing that's probably like maybe a back tax clearing issue. So.
All right. Anything else?
The only one I had.
Oh, you got anything?
Nope.
Okay. Well, let's go on to 2 Admin 2017-53 Monthly Treasurer's Report for June 2017.
Year-to-date revenues of $6,546,432 and year-to-date expenses of $5,491,697. Again, the ending fund balance and the projected ending fund balance are missing because we're in our audit process right now. Hopefully I'll have some pretty solid projected numbers for you next month. And then as we go into September, we should have the final numbers, and you'll see these columns magically reappear on the treasurer's report. So,
comments or questions on that? Okay. Three, admin 2017-54, cash statement for May 2017.
Again, as always, informational cash on the first page and our investment summary on the second page.
Comments or questions on this? Okay, let's go to four, admin 2017-55, bills for payment. Any comments or questions on the bill list? Okay, we're good on that. Five, admin 2017-56, the monthly website report for June 2017.
Yeah, attached is the statistical analysis for May of 2017, and then you see 3 months prior to that. The interesting thing is I went over with Civic Plus in our annual phone call that our Parks and Rec page is our most visited page, and so I'm working with Parks and Rec staff in the latter part of the summer and early fall to make their page look more like a home page, even though it's a page within our website, to make sure that people can see and adequately get to what things they're trying to look up.
Any comments or questions on this? Let's go to admin 2017-57, budget amendments for fiscal year 2017.
This is our annual kind of budget cleanup prior to the auditors coming. It's really, I mean, nothing substantial. I mean, the reason we have to do this is primarily because of the bill program. We budget $0 for revenues and expense because it is a wash from a budgetary perspective. But as we go throughout the year and expenditures get recorded, on the smaller funds like the debt service fund, the vehicle equipment replacement fund, it tends to put us over budget, so we're just trying to clean that up. You know, the big issue this year was the water refunding. As you can see on page 142 of the PDF, we're $6 million over budget, and that's obviously because of the refunding. When you do a refunding, you show revenue coming in, and you show that exact dollar amount coming out, so that explains that. And of course, the refunding was a good thing. We had substantial interest savings, so it was definitely something that the city should, and I'm glad we did do it. And other than that, there's the Park and Rec budget adjustment that just kind of memorializes previous transfers that we've done for a mower and a panel van that was previously approved early in the year by City Council. So with these budget amendments, it'll you know, get the budget in order to be audited, and we can avoid you know, any sort of auditor comment in regards to being over on the budget.
Any comments or questions on this? All right. Can we do this on consent? Okay, on consent. Admin 2017-58, the Microsoft licensing.
Okay, so our IT firm has been hard at work cataloging our IT issues, both software and hardware. And so I think it was the last city council meeting we had approved the firewall purchase, which is an upgrade to our security for network. So we've got licensing here in this agenda item, and then a full network hardware refresh, which is our next agenda item. They're somewhat related in that we don't think that we have any licensing issues with our existing computers. Okay, so we've been buying computers with Microsoft Office suites on them, so you pay a little bit more, and basically you get the suite with the computer, and you know, when you get a new computer, you have to pay for that license for each computer going forward. So we haven't stumbled across anything that says otherwise. Most municipalities, once you get to about our level, will start the volume-based licensing. And I know Elburn had done that when Aaron was there, where you pay per year and you get some eligibility to upgrade, and then you've got you know, a license that maybe transfers between computers, and so it kind of sits with a person more so than a computer. So that's what this does. It's Office 365, which is actually the latest and greatest version of Office. This would be an annual subscription fee, and it is $27,000. Not only does it give us the full Office suite with upgrades when they come out, but it actually transfers our mail system to a fully hosted email system. So we will not need a Microsoft Exchange server going forward, and a Barracuda archiver system. So we will still need those existing systems as they sit, because we won't take all of our emails and transfer them to this online system. So we'll need it to maintain basically what we've got. But in the future, as we grow, you basically just pay for the mailbox each year, They worry about all the physical storage and issues, and then it's Microsoft, so you know you've got the security of whatever they do, and then also just the like the lack of downtime too with the system. So additionally, you get some litigation hold functions. So similar to our existing archiver, we'll be able to actually set a system up in place that will worry about document destruction. So as emails become useless 5 years from now, you can actually put them into folders. It'll automatically purge them, give you a certificate, and it'll allow you to kind of set things aside and tag them for specific pieces of litigation. That way it's easier to find in the future. So so there's some aspect of that. So the licensing, though, on the actual servers is included with the server purchase on the next agenda item. But if for whatever reason we decide not to do that, then we would actually need to put server licenses for our existing servers on this agreement with this company. So InterDev, which is our IT provider, had actually went out, and apparently there are multiple vendors that do licensing, and I don't understand how there's different prices between them, but there is. So they actually quoted out three different licensing companies for Microsoft Office licensing. So this was the lowest one. They've used them before. They're fine with that. And so then they'd recommend this to go forward. So with the servers, we think what happened is our servers were installed 5 to 6 years ago by two IT vendors ago, and they were probably using a server license that the IT vendor held. And so two IT vendors ago, that guy closed up shop, sold it to one of his employees, and my guess is that employee then used his license, and then that employee, who is then the owner of the new company, kind of fell off the face of the earth for us, and that's why we had to transfer to another IT firm several months ago. So we think that that was probably lost in the translation, or transition. And so we're sitting there at our past two IT firms now have looked at this and said, well, we don't know whether you have license to cover this. We can't find it anywhere, so we suggest you do it as soon as possible. So that, again, that won't be needed if we do the server purchase because that's all wrapped into the quote there. So this is just for the latest and greatest Office, so Word, PowerPoint, Excel, and then upgrades over time. And then there's some other benefits too, where employees, so each employee that actually holds the license, they can download programs on their phone, on their home computer. That way, if they need to work on something at home, they've got the same capability. So the nice thing about it is it plays nicely with all the new server equipment, all of our enterprise systems, RecTrack, MSI, as they upgrade, we won't be lagging behind in those. And then we'll have a modern Office, which is something we haven't had in a long time.
Comments or questions?
Each of the licenses is going to be attributed or associated with a city email for each of the users?
Yes.
In order for them to be able to utilize it on a phone or on a personal device, that's mm-hmm. a city email that's being used on, so we know where they're logging in and how many times they're doing it. But that's
yes.
the
Yeah.
Credential. Okay.
So the way that it works with the like the mailbox and the Office licensing together is there's different levels, and so all of these 80 that they've quoted us are like full-time employees that need it.
Right.
Whereas if we create like a mailbox for agendas at yorkville.il.us, it's not a person, but it branches up to four of them. If they can't do some sort of just like email forwarding method, you actually pay like it's like
right,
dollar a month or something.
Rate.
Yeah.
We have a few of these
just to have the mailbox.
Yeah, we have. Our full-time need licenses, and then we have the dummy accounts, is what I call
yeah.
Which serve for the purpose of just email and a couple other uses. So those I'm familiar with. We're looking at E3 is the program package for these, which provides the full suite and, Skype.
Sure.
All the good systems they have. I put a call out to a vendor that we use, and I noticed that this is significantly more than that.
Okay.
They gave me a number. It's about an $8,000 difference.
Okay.
For going through and doing an E3 Enterprise suite for 80 people. I know this is quoted out from our vendor or from our contractor.
Did they do it as a company or a government?
They were aware that it's government.
Okay.
So, and that's because I know that the one thing is they have to have the ability to do the email backup and security there for legal purposes.
Sure.
So that's a word. So I'm just wondering, is there a reason it would be significantly more? I mean, we're not talking
right.
a huge deal per license, but over time, you know.
No, I mean, you're talking about like a 20-30% decrease. I mean, I was surprised that different vendors can offer the licenses at different prices.
Right.
I mean, that didn't make any sense to me when they told me that. But all three of the other quotes they showed me were like $28,000, $29,000. So I figured out that, you know, maybe they were throwing in something extra or maybe discounting it.
Right, discounting or, you know, InterDev might have their markup on it and that kind of thing. But it seemed high.
Yeah.
But
I'm absolutely willing to talk to your vendor, and I will have InterDev contact them and say, like, hey, you know, is this legit? Can you do this? And if so, then
I want to be cautious and make sure we do it, because this is obviously ongoing.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. Can you get it to me, like, tomorrow?
I can. I'll be able to pull that. And
yeah. I guess my recommendation would still be to continue forward with this, and then if that ends up being cheaper, then, or if there's some doubt as to whether it's cheaper even by Tuesday, I would say at that point, like Tuesday night, I would just...
We can always table it to push it for a little bit. Okay, that would be good, because that would make me feel a little more comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, go ahead.
Our quantity of 80, does that give you, for hire anybody new, is there like a cushion in there for...
I didn't go through their inventory. I know they did it, and you and I went through like the mailbox list.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's like one person sitting there
you know, cause a problem if we add somebody.
No,
on
the
no.
It's, you can add individual or packs of 5,
right.
25. Okay. It's very easy.
It's
to
scalable.
Actually,
Mark
right. could probably do it.
Yes.
Okay. I'm locked into that.
No.
So don't have any
more. Right.
Okay. And then. You know, we're talking about this all as a whole. So on the network side of things, the rationale for keeping the current email storage system, why would we not transfer all that over into the current system, since capacity is not going to be an issue with 365?
Well, the hosted mailbox, you do pay for a terabyte limit, and I don't remember how much they recommended us to have, and we have lots of, like, millions of emails.
Oh, yeah, and I know we have
from that, like,
but obviously you can... To obviously go from having old systems in place, equipment, mechanical systems that we have to maintain, as compared to transferring everything over to a hosted server elsewhere that is going to be maintained for a nominal fee, why would we not consider that?
Well, the vendor had explained it as... Since we have so many, he's like, most clients, they just do a clean break and start with the new system, and that obviously fills up pretty quickly. And, you know, that most people don't have to go too far back in their system.
Mm-hmm.
It would still be an online, you know, searchable archiver for us, you know, within City Hall.
Right.
So we'd still have access to those emails, but they were like, their comment to me was like, it's not going to be worth the amount of time and effort that it's going to put into
it. Because I know the transfer is a significant amount of time.
It's possible they might do like a year or two if we deem it. But
do we think that within 5 years, based on, you know, statute of limitations for destruction, we can phase that out in a several year timeline to not have that mechanical system in place anymore?
If I had to guess, it'd probably be more towards the 10-year timeline, just because there are a fair amount of document destruction categories that are like 7 years.
A lot of them are two to three. So I just wanted.
But most of them, some of them are sevens.
Yeah.
So
we're going to have to hold on to the equipment and maintain it. That's where I'm looking at. Because if we can get rid of every bit of the current equipment we have in the server, I'd be happy, because I know the problems we have. I just want to get a good functioning operational system. And as long as this is separate and it's just a.
Yep.
You know, we don't have to put big money into preserving it.
Sure.
That'd be fine.
Yeah, the last two IT vendors, so current and our previous one too, had said that you absolutely don't want to maintain that second one, you know, if you don't have to. And the hosted system will spend a lot less money on overall, because when something goes wrong, you basically just pick up and call Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody can do it. You don't have to send a tech out here to, like, you know, do a patch or, like, figure out what's going on. So you said your manpower costs typically go down, so which is what we're trying to get to, you know, down the road.
And did InterDev do a analysis of cloud-based server for us as compared to physical server?
They might have. They didn't go over that with me. They presented me with three options, and I told Jackie this when we went over the agenda. And they were all like the total network refresh, and then it was like one where they replaced the servers but not the storage area network. And so you'd have to replace the storage area network and might have problems. And it was like 80% of the cost of what they were quoting. And then the other one was like, don't touch the servers, do the storage area network. And go from there. So nobody else within the IT consortium that we're in has a cloud-based server. Mm-hmm. Some of them are doing off-site networked backups onto other village hall networks so that under disaster recovery, theoretically, there's not going to be a tornado that's going to wipe out the entire North Shore and us. But that's the extent of it. So
can you ask if they have done a cost comparison? It may have been that it was exorbitant and not even worth running the a proposal to us, but I'd just like to see if they have done that. Again, it's a maintenance issue long term. What's the cost benefit to doing something of that sort? I'd like to know, did they do that? It works better for us, and I'm assuming that everything here that we have saw or document wise is going to be backed up off site as well.
We currently have a Mosey backup system, so we pay a subscription for that. It's actually fairly pricey. We did that when we were trying to make sure that everything was okay during the transitions, and so we'll be transferring probably to another system here in the next month or two. Yeah.
So we'll transfer out of that one into a different backup
system. Yeah, or we'll re-up it for like another 6 months or something.
Okay. And that'll come as another packet, another quote. Actually, it's probably going to be under the administrator for it because it's not going to be that much.
Right, yeah. So I think the last one was $6,000 for 6 months.
Correct.
And some of the others are half the price, but they require you to spend more time, obviously, dealing with them.
And, anything that we can do to make it as minimal impact on staff and it's a constant outside backup, that'd be great. So.
Yeah.
So we kind of covered both of those together there.
Yeah, I mean, I put like the line by line item on the server
and
refresh.
2017, 59 servers purchased.
Data centers are big money.
Yeah.
The one I just built, it's $1 million buy-in plus $100,000 a month for the suite.
For server space?
Yeah. Oh
my God.
But it never will go down.
Yeah. That's the thing. Those are the guarantees.
Yeah.
And this server is interconnected with all of the other users around the city. Our connections will all be compliant with this?
Yes.
Okay. And we don't have to make any changes at this point to any of the other remote sites?
No, not that they were recommending.
Okay.
So.
That's good.
So we're good moving this on? And pending, we'll put it on the agenda.
Put it on the agenda. Non-consent.
And if I can get an answer tomorrow morning, I'll put it in a memo for the packet. So if not, we'll just go out sometime over the weekend.
You want a non-consent or consent and we can pull up off? I mean, it doesn't matter right away.
I usually like to have them on non-consent if it's a question. Otherwise, it just goes in votes and no discussion. I prefer it not to be
Chris. Okay. Regular agenda.
Yes, I'm difficult.
Yes, you are, but we love you anyhow. So let's go to 9, admin 2017-60 city services survey.
It's a little cheaper. So we're proposing to do another survey. We've been doing them once every 2 years or so. Didn't actually change really any of the questions. If there's a topic that everybody wants to ask about, it's easy to add them. Otherwise, the past couple times, we've tried to keep everything the same. That way, we have some continuity over time. So again, we do it by lock and key password. Basically, goes on the bottom of a utility bill. If multiple people in the household want to take it, they can. They just call and get a new password. We've had 400 or 500 people take it in the past. I think last time we did it was our lowest at 237, but I don't know that we did the same public outreach that we did the times before. So we also have historically done it in February, so maybe there will be like a different crowd because it's summer. So that's the proposal. We just want to make sure everybody's okay with the actual survey questions and if there's anything we want to add or get rid of.
And what are we using for to host the survey?
SurveyMonkey.
SurveyMonkey, that's good.
Yeah, we've just got like a $250 a year subscription that Parks and Rec uses generally for all their programming classes. So it serves us pretty well.
Anything else on that?
No.
Are you good?
Not the questions. They're good. They don't move, they'll work.
Okay. We only have to move that out, right?
We did ask for a motion to approve it last time, just so everybody's comfortable with the questions. And,
I guess there was one, as I'm just looking through those. It's snow removal on major streets.
Yep.
We don't disclaim anywhere that 34, 47, 71 are state highways. They're not under our jurisdiction. And I don't think most people realize the difference of those streets to, you know, Cannonball or the other, what we consider our major streets.
Sure.
Because we say major or local, and your local, the one in front of your house. We talk about that, but.
You gotta remember, 250 people are taking this.
I know.
Those same five people that call you about it, will they take this or not, are gonna call you about it.
Yeah.
Come on, you've been doing this long enough.
I know, I'm just, have we ever had anything where we think that there's a point of clarity needed on something like that?
It hasn't come up in the comments.
Right.
Yet, so that's why I think we put in there Game Farm Road and Fox Road.
You get complaints on?
Yeah.
Not in my ward.
Right. Because I'm the one driving the truck. Right. But I mean, if you can't figure it out, the state truck.
Yeah.
And, right. Well, sorry. Well, I know.
Well, why didn't the truck go down? Why didn't they have their plow down when they're going down the street?
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of thing. That's just. I saw them going down, they didn't plow the street. They're salting, they didn't have the plow down at all.
Yeah.
Right. We did. I was just wondering, okay.
I really like our wardrobe.
Yeah. I don't know.
I guess the people.
Just the one guy, but other than that.
Actually, we have a couple quirky people, but
I'm not going to say anything about the people in my area, it's on record.
I've never had anybody.
No, I'm not.
I
know
the major highways. I've had other complaints, you know.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I've never snowplowed. I've never gotten one for snowplowing, I don't think.
No. I'm the hill. Icy hills.
Well, yeah.
Snowplow complaints?
No, I've never had one snowplow.
I don't think I've ever had one.
Ever.
Seriously?
It must be that our streets are so wide.
Could be.
Cars are typically done first, though, aren't they?
Yeah, because they're hills.
That's why.
Yeah. And it's very rare. Just like
I do get calls and compliments, really, and I take credit for it. I'll tell you that, right?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I've never had anyone complain that their mailbox got hit. Well,
I guess maybe they all just call here because they know, but yeah.
No.
I probably take more mailbox hit complaints than you. I just think that with our wider streets,
yeah,
they can fly a little bit more.
Well, that's probably true. Our
different
streets,
different mailbox construction
streets. Exactly. Yeah.
They built a nice snow hill for me once, that last couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah?
They had nowhere else to put the snow, but because I got that double lot.
Oh, sure.
And it's technically your easement. Kids loved it.
Recreational opportunities
right.
is what we're all about when we snowplow.
I got
it. And the one day that was bad on the ice, it was just bad on the ice. I mean,
well,
that was just a weird freak weather incident. So the cars were going down the wrong way down the street. It was pretty bad. My husband went down the street sideways. He went to back in. It was like, and he kept going. Larry Cott's daughter was one. She like spun and went down backwards.
Oh,
it was bad. But there was nothing they could do about it. Yep. So it's like, well, you're complaining. There's nothing. I, you know, what can we do about it? It was a bad weather situation. So, but never a mailbox or anything else or complaining. So we're good with that? So you want to put that on consent agenda then?
Yeah, maybe we should discuss it.
No, it's okay. That's going on consent agenda. I'm giving you your other two. We have no old business. Do we have any additional business? All right.
Let's
okay. We're good. Let's adjourn it. 6:35.